Pastor Green asked me to speak about developing a mentoring ministry in your local church, and I've asked my wife Janet here to join me. She, along with Jocelyn Wallace and Alexandra Nitschke, started a podcast for ladies. You can go to joyfuljourneypod.com for more information on that. I asked my wife to join me because the ladies' mentoring program here at Faith is about 1 year or so more developed than our men's ministry mentoring program. And the ladies' ministry mentoring program is functioning largely as we had envisioned. I run our men's ministry mentoring program and, frankly, playing catch up to my dear wife here in this area. So I'm extremely thankful for my wife's stewardship of her gifts and abilities in setting up and executing a viable mentoring ministry for our ladies. Now, as we think about mentoring and counseling, you're here at a biblical counseling conference, and the whole week is talking about biblical counseling. The reality is, shockingly enough, that in our own lives, before Janet and I knew anything about biblical counseling and the sufficiency of scriptures, well, guess what? We were able to grow as Christians. However, that was not because we were in churches that emphasized necessarily personal growth. Both of us have a testimony in which someone older than us came alongside of us. I grew up in a church that taught the gospel and taught Bible information, but I attribute the stimulus of my personal growth to when somebody came alongside me and started investing in me personally. If you've been in track one, you've probably heard a little bit of my testimony, but let me remind you of it. I stand before you today as a pastor because a long, long time ago, George Lucas rolled his car in 1962 before I was born. Now you thought, well, I thought the story was going to be more spiritually focused than that. Well, let me explain. If George Lucas had not rolled his car, he would have not chosen a different career path than race car driving. As such, he became interested in filmmaking, and ultimately that led him to make the movie Star Wars, which my mom took me to see back in 1977. From that point on, I was interested in everything related to space. So if George Lucas had not rolled his car, I would have not then chosen to get a degree in aerospace engineering at Oklahoma State University. And at Oklahoma State, I would have not met a man named Mike Dotson. You see, during my senior year at Oklahoma State University, after having attended church all of my life, a Navigator college minister, Mike Dotson, who conducted his Navigator ministry out of the church that I was attending, took an interest in my spiritual walk with God. In fact, he was probably more interested in my walk with God than I was. He became my friend by being interested in the things that I was interested in. He asked me questions about my career path in aerospace engineering. He learned to play racquetball with me, which was essentially the only sport I played. And he became my spiritual friend by asking me about my relationship with God. You know, I was a believer at the time, but I couldn't say I was a rapidly growing one. He asked me about my devos, and I would say, "What's a devo?" He would ask me about scripture memory, and I would say, "Why would I do that?" He showed me these spiritual disciplines and more, and the value of them, and he taught me how to do them. And then he said, "What I'm doing with you, Brent, I want you to do with others." He invested in my walk with God and challenged me to invest in others, and I did. At that point in time, I started teaching two other young men, two freshmen and a sophomore, about their spiritual disciplines at my senior year at Oklahoma State University. So outside of my parents talking to me or taking me to church from an early age and exposing me to the gospel, the greatest next step in my following Christ was when this mentor, and he wasn't a counselor, but he was a mentor, invested in me.
And for me, though I did come from a religious home, I didn't really understand the gospel at all until I was a freshman in college. I was led to put my faith in Jesus all alone with nothing works added by a woman named Bev. She was on staff with Campus Bible Fellowship and working at University of South Florida, where I was attending. Bev was actually interested in just getting to know me. She listened to my now I know, incredibly self-absorbed perspective on how the people in CBF, the campus ministry I was part of, they don't include me. I don't feel like I belong there. She cared about my loneliness. She also gently helped me get my focus off of myself. I still remember her asking me to be in charge of greeting new people when they came to our CBF Friday night ministry. Me? I'm the new person. They're supposed to be reaching out to me right now. Why would I be the one to do that? And by the way, I'm really shy. I don't do that. But she had built a relationship with me, and I knew she cared about me. And how do you actually say no to trying to love other new people when you've just been complaining about how nobody loved you when you came? She knew that, so she helped me. And I was terrified because I really was very selfishly shy and a people pleaser. She helped me come up with 5 questions that I could ask any new person that came to our college ministry that would help me connect with them in some way, and you better believe I memorized them, and I used all 5 of them. And then if I used all 5, and we didn't have, I had no idea what to do next. But usually one of those got us talking about something. That push alone, if she had done nothing else, changed me. I was forced to think of other people and not myself, at least on Friday night for a while. And I learned I'm not going to die if I reach out to a stranger. God used that to develop a love for others that began to compete then with my love for myself. I would never have done what she asked if I didn't already know her and believe that she loved me. We then met basically weekly for the next 3 years. She was the first person to ever tell me that she saw leadership potential in me, and I remember that. That was huge for me because I was a quiet, self-absorbed people pleaser, so I didn't hear that very often. Her investment in me was a huge part of my growth. And it gave me a growing passion to be able to, I didn't know the word mentor, but mentor and reach out to other people who, like me, would benefit from somebody just investing in them. I didn't know then that I was experiencing Titus 2 lived out because I really didn't know much about the Bible. An older woman was investing in a younger woman. I didn't even know it was a command in the Bible. I just knew it changed me, and I wanted to pass it on.
Now, for both Janet and myself, the concept of biblical counseling was something that was additional to our growth later on. Yeah. On the additional to the ongoing life-on-life ministry that had changed us, Mike changing me and Bev changing Janet. During my first mentoring endeavor, and like Janet, I didn't call it mentoring then, but with that Bible study that I mentioned earlier, I encountered a young man who was regularly depressed. Yeah. He came from a small town in Oklahoma with a tight-knit family and a high school sweetheart, and he was struggling with life in a university town. I taught him how to do his devotions like Mike Dotson taught me. I taught him how to memorize scripture like Mike Dotson taught me. But I found that I did not know how to help him with his depression and just the spiritual disciplines. He wasn't making the connection, and I wasn't either, about how to help him. I sent the young man to my mentor. My mentor did not know how to help him. I mentioned that my mentor was not a counselor. My mentor sent him to my pastor, and my pastor at that point in time did not know how to help him either. My pastor sent him to a Christian psychiatrist who prescribed him Prozac. And my dad was a pharmacist, so my help to that young man was providing him with Prozac, with the cost being borne by my dad in his pharmacy. Now, let's fast forward just a little bit. After I graduated Oklahoma State University, I came to Purdue University, and there I was a very little fish in a very big pond. At Oklahoma State, where I'd come from, with my academic achievements in aerospace engineering, I was a very big fish in a very little pond there. All of that set me up for my own depression struggles during my first semester at Purdue. Now, in God's sovereignty, I ended up right here at Faith Church, where I heard about the sufficient scriptures and how they applied, not just to devos and scripture memory, but how they could apply to all.